And we are going to modify the dinim of Einoah, which we learned in Bava Metzia. It's like so open-ended, less than a shtus, less than a sixth margin, you're meichel, and a sixth, we say, you return the money, and over a sixth is bitul mekach. But we also learned is that it's net-net, you take off all the expenses, the tircha, upoila, the chamorov, you take off the tircha, the freight, and all that, and then a sixth, it's shtus. A sixth above that, after you take the aggregate, so your cost is no longer $50, maybe it's $60, and then you take, you allowed to add a sixth of that, that's going to be your net profit margin. Now the Gemara is going to modify that much further. Tzadik Aleph, Amar Aleph, top of the page. So the Gemara, Ein Mistakrim Be'er Yisrael, you should not make profits in Yisrael. Bedvorim sheyesh behen chayei nefesh. There's a big machlekes between the Kesef Mishnah and the Sameh. Halalim Pshat Gemara here. The Kesef Mishnah learned that all food items come under one category, and then there's the rest. And the Sameh and others learned there are three categories along the lines of the Rashbam here. The three categories, which is food which is vital, you need to subsist on, food which is not vital, and food which is totally luxurious. And it goes as follows. You're not allowed to make money in Eretz Yisrael with things that you need to sustain yourself, wine, and shmani besalsas. We already had yesterday machlek is whether wine is a good thing or a bad thing. If you remember, Rabbi Yehuda Maseda said, halavai, you export all the wine you can because it turns everybody into silly people. And he says, wine, oil, and flour are basic staple items. Therefore, you're not allowed to take advantage and exploit. You shouldn't have a margin more than a shtus. Amru Allah Abelazar ben Azayah, shahoye mistake b'yayin v'shemen, that he actually exceeded that amount. So b'yayin, when it came to wine, we understand where he came from. So he holds like Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseda that says that wine is a bad thing. It's not a staple item at all. Who needs it? B'shemen, what about oil? Why did he charge excessive prices by oil? Me'asre den Abelazar ben Azayah shchiach mishcha. In his place, that there was plenty of oil available. And therefore what? And therefore the idea is the market forces will rein him in. Because if he's going to charge excessive prices and other people have plenty of oil, they're going to charge lower prices. He'll be out of business. So we don't have to legislate. Okay, Rashbam. Ein mistakri in liklis yayin v'shem v'salsas, so there's two lines on the top. To purchase wine, oil, and flour v'balabai limka v'shem v'shem v'market. V'balabai it's atzma yimkar v'tzrichi k'vash yimkar l'chenveni. The balabai is himself. Would sell me a liknes chit in Velasas pass mut. However, says he, when do we say Rashbam comes along and says another thing? You have two kinds of people in the marketplace. You have parasites and you have contributors. This is going to sound very much like Karl Marx. Actually, the Chassam Sefer talks a lot about this. In society, you have contributors and you have parasites. Parasites are middlemen, wholesalers. They add nothing to the product. All they do is they grease their palms and they bring it to the market. So therefore, they're a parasite. Then you have contributors. Contributors are the original farmers. They created the food. Says the Rashbam, that it doesn't, in the chain of supply, a contributor doesn't have to be the originator. Even in the middle, for example, miu liknes chit in velasas pas. If you bought wheat and you turn it into bread, so I'm a contributor. I'm the baker. The baker is also a contributor. He's doing something. Mut. Sorry?
Adding value.
Yeah, he calls them, I'm using some safest words in his tribute there. It's contributors and parasites. The kiva and the ika tircha, shari. Because there's a bother involved and you're contributing, you're allowed to charge more. Avalimkar hadova be'en, if all you're doing is you're buying and selling the same product, kamoi shakoino isu balabayis, the way you bought in balabayis is how you unsell it, asr. You're not allowed to be mistaken more than a shtus. The Balabais himself could have sold it. You're not adding anything. So therefore, you have no right to add more than a shtus.
That's if you've done it in the distribution system. Now then, if you've got a whole city...
Oh, that's going to argue today. Today, you know, it's
got a
right.
Whole city people and the country is,
that's what we had a concept called a sitain. Sitain is a guy who buys from a lot of farms.
How long did it take him to get oil to Yerushalayim from at the Hanukkah time? That the way it went until the pyramid was in the north to get oil to Yerushalayim?
Yeah. So look, I mean, say the... Okay. The more taxes you levy, like in Australia, you keep on putting taxes, and the supposed reason is not to raise revenue, it's to prevent people from drinking wine. Back to the Gemara, 7 lines at the top.
Wine was considered a necessary item or not?
We have two opinions. The Beautiful Seder says no, and the Tana comes here.
But it is necessary for Kiddush, and I've done it.
Sorry?
It is necessary.
That's only a minimum amount. You don't need a lot of wine for that. Arba Kaisis, Pesach is the only time you need a little bit more. Tana Mangalan, Eim Mistakri in Pomayim Bebeim. You're not allowed to sell eggs twice. You're not allowed to have a middleman when it comes to eggs, because you're definitely not contributing anything, and you shouldn't have it. Why? Sarashbam. Parmayim lekame mefarish bebeim nidali. Seems to me, says interesting. The Rashbam today, eggs is pretty much a staple item. Says the Rashbam nidali mishud bebeim ein behem chayei nefesh kolkach. Eggs are not that important. You don't need it for cakes. You need cakes.
It's supposed to be a superfood, like real health.
In those days, they knew better. It's cholesterol, too much protein, cholesterol. Vegam teirach meruba verevach muat. To actually have eggs. You know, you go to the United States today, eggs are still unbelievably cheap. I just paid now $1.49 a dozen eggs. So it's unbelievably cheap.
Don't forget, that's about $1.80 Australian.
We need to get $1.80 Australian here, a dozen eggs. The gam. Toirach meruba verevach muat. Eggs is difficult to raise, to take, and the profits are very little. And for the poor people who usually handle the eggs, poor people who travel the cities, liknes baim to buy the baim, so therefore we allow you by eggs to make a profit up to double. We just said you're not allowed shtus, so the Rashbam learns over here pshat, but eggs you allow. This is along the lines of Sameh learns from here that in food itself, if it's not a staple item. Not like wine, oil, or flour. It's something that is, people eat it, but you can live without it. But people do eat it, so it's in between. This you can make, you can charge up to double. You can have 50% margin. Up to double. And he adds also Rashbam, because there's a tirche, and there isn't much profit in it. You let it go up to kiflaim, up to a double. How much? We'll see in a minute how much. Oh, my money, please. What I was actually my how much chad? I'm al chad today. You allowed to double. If you bought it for $1, you allowed to sell it for $2. The chad oman, almost says tagger le tagra. That what? That you allowed to sell it to a middleman. Rashbam al chad today. Parallel to the gemara, mashalakach bedinah layim kushne dinerim. If you bought it for dinner, don't sell it for $2. You allowed to sell up to $2, but not $2. Or tagger le tagra. The first person buys it. You shouldn't have two middlemen. You're allowed to have one middleman, not two. You're not allowed to have a giant wholesaler, then a smaller wholesaler, and then another retailer. No. There's a farmer. Then you're right. Farmer doesn't have a good distribution. So you have one wholesaler, and then the end user. That's it. Because if you have two middlemen, what happens? Each one has to grease the palms, so there's two margins. L'taga rishon, l'taga sheni. U'makirin yosef adayim comes too expensive. Avashad varimutin. All other, the third category are things which are not staple items or which are not food that normally is eaten. Anything which is not food or even food like spices which you don't really need. Shem yoykizeh yimzachen yukribazo. We're not worried. We're not worried about other things. There's no limit because the market forces will take over. Amazing Gemara here. All modern economics, this market forces business is all modern, you know, John Adams, whatever, all market stuff. Taught about me learned. So we have three categories. Okay, food is a sixth. Side food or a food that's not essential is up to double. Anything else, the sky is the limit. The market forces will take over. Yeah, and also you have the concept here of not having too many middlemen because each one, if you think about any product that you buy today, how many people were involved from the first, from when it was created until it finally got to you? Especially if it was imported from overseas. There are 3 or 4 or 5 different people that have made money on this particular item. Best example is an Esrik. Where it started and where it ends up. It's like 4 or 5 people in between. Okay, tell about we learned. Masri in Nalan Shabbos daven for tzarch, you know, for business. But yet Masri, which usually means with a shofar, but Masri, you're allowed to scream out on Shabbos, al prakmatia, on business, a filib Shabbos, if what? If the price, suddenly there was deflation, you're allowed to scream out. Rashbam al pragmatia shehusim, but filah davening al pragmatia huzlo habagodim toivim shehuzlo. We're talking about clothes. When it comes to food, you're not allowed to scream because the poor people are gaining. If the price is deflation, at least the poor people are very happy because they can afford now to buy things they couldn't buy before. So you have no right to daven because you're hurting them. But when it comes, at least on Shabbos. But when it comes to clothing, which doesn't is not negated to poor people, they can't afford it anyway. But suddenly, a suit that should have been $500 now suddenly is worth $200, and you just lost your pants if you were an importer, and so on and so forth. You're allowed to daven on Shabbos. Habgodim toivim shuzak rashbam shuhuzlu. If the price was hyperdeflation, the ain kan hefsed laniim. And over here, you don't impact on the aniim because they can't afford clothing anyway. Imi a kid if you make it more expensive. Let's say linen and bubble, the yayin, the shemes, so wine and oil in Eretz Yisrael. It seems that wine and oil in Eretz Yisrael was out of the reach of poor people. So it seems from Beirash Bamlam Shat the Gemara. So what did they eat? They didn't have the basic staples. I guess wine, we said before, is a luxury. Oil maybe is also a luxury compared to flour. Omar, as Yaisa said, what's considered hyperdeflation? Not the price dropped by 5%. But who dissolved the koma sada b'shisa? That what? That dropped by 40%. It's worth now 60% of its original value. That's called hyperdeflation. You can buy now 10 clothes, what you used to buy for 6. So who's look cut of the machzah? It's almost a half. So you invite to Torah Manglen and yoitzin mi Eretz Yisrael. We learned yesterday you're not allowed to export fruits from Eretz Yisrael when Rothschild started the whole agriculture of Shavim in Eretz Yisrael. There's a big controversy of Nez and others whether they're allowed to export their crop to Chutz La'aretz, because we learned yesterday's Gemara you're not allowed to export. It's Paschal Shulchan Aruch. You're not allowed to export from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz La'aretz and so on. But now we're saying here, if you want to leave, you're not allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael. What's the reason not allowed to export? It says in most of the Mefarshim because of mitzvah of Yishev Eretz Yisrael. So it doesn't apply to any Jewish community outside of Eretz Yisrael. It's purely because of mitzvah Yishev Eretz Yisrael. And the heter that they gave was to enhance the Yishev Eretz Yisrael, they need to have an economy. Today, to have a broader economy, you need to export to get in dollars to be able to buy things that you need. So therefore, mitzvah the mitzvah of Yishev Eretz Yisrael gufa, it allows us to export. That's basically the heter that they give. But talk about what we learned. You're not going to leave Eretz Yisrael. We had the Gemara Ksuvah at the end. You're not leave Eretz Yisrael only for a couple of things. And we said it's even Aveda is Ein Yaitzin Me'er Chut Lare because the Mitzvah Eretz Yisrael Elin Kein Amdus Asayim B'Selah, unless there was Mamisha hunger, that what? That you that you can buy two or deflation. Amdus Asayim B'Selah, the value of two Sayim now, of a flower is for a seller. The price of a seller. So therefore, here it's very, very expensive, and because it's very, very expensive, therefore you're allowed to leave. Now the Rashbam says, not like I told you, the mitzvah Yishev Eretz Yisrael is what other Rishonim say, but Rashbam says, Ein Yoitzin, why can't you leave Eretz Yisrael? Shemavki Atzman HaMitzvahs, which is very interesting. Why doesn't he say like the others, because the mitzvah Yishev Eretz Yisrael? As you know, there's a machlekes, if there's a mitzvah Yishev Eretz Yisrael at all. So, like the Rambam and how they limb shot the Rambam, the Rashbam seems to be saying here, the only problem is you shouldn't leave Eretz Yisrael because you miss out Trum, Maisa, and other mitzvahs. What about the Etzem mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael? What happened to that mitzvah?
Today it depends who you ask.
Sorry?
Today it depends who you ask.
No, I'm saying Rashbam, yeah. Right here. I'm asking anybody. The Rashbam does not give the reason of Yishev Eretz Yisrael. Does he say anything over there in the... Well, that's it.
Since the Rambam in the
Sefer Mitzvahs. Vayikraya.
This pasuk for another explanation.
For Vilashta Vishaftaba. In that pasuk.
Chapter 18 of
Vayikraya. There's a Rashbam on the pasuk Vilashta
Vishaftaba.
Ramban. On the pasuk Vilashta Vishaftaba where he says with it because he writes this wrong. Maybe that's what he's referring to. Okay, back to Gemara. Omer Rav Shimon, Shimon says, "Ein Masai." When do we say this? Bizman she'ena moitzel likach. It's not enough that it's expensive, but that it's not available. Avo bizman she'moitzel likach. But if food is available, I feel om the saw besela lo yotze. Even though that we're talking about here price deflation. We're not talking about inflation. We're talking about price deflation. That it's so cheap and that your whole business is falling apart. So even if... we're talking about... It became very expensive. Even became even more expensive. Not two soim for a seller, but one soim for a seller. So it's even more expensive. So l'chayda, surely you should be able to leave the country. But if you can still afford to buy it, you should not leave the country personally. Someone else maybe leaves the country, but if you can afford to buy it, you don't have an excuse. It's not that the state of affairs there. It's your personal state of affairs that negeya. And now we're going to do the segue to Rus. This is what Shimon Yochai said. Eli Melech, Machlein, Vekilian, Gedoyle, Hadoyr, Hoyu. They were the leaders.
It
sounds like the Gemara is adding this. Eli Melech, Machlein, Kilian, Gedoyle, Hadoyr, Hoyu. There should be another more down the bottom, a big one, no? No. They were, okay, wait.
Anyway. It's more comfortable.
So Elimelech and Machla the Kilian were the great people of the generation. Uparnose had died, they were the leaders. Why were they punished that they died? Because they left Eretz Yisrael. There was a hunger there. They could have afforded to stay. Shenemar, it says in the pasuk, "Va'tahem kol ha'ir alein." When Naomi came back with Rus, the whole city was in amazement. But to Marna, they said, "Hazois Naomi, this is Naomi." What do you mean, "Hazois Naomi, this is Naomi"? What was it asking? Amru chazisem Naomi. This is the same Naomi she yotzos me'eretz l'chutz la'aretz that left Eretz Yisrael. Ma also, what was her soif? Omar Rabbi Yitzchak, Oisa Yoim, Shabosa Rus, Hamoivia, Le Eretz Yisrael, Mesa Issa Shalboyas. And they said, look, she left Eretz Yisrael, and look what happened at the end. She suffered. Her whole family died. Why did her whole family die? Because they left Eretz Yisrael and went to Chutz La'aretz. And there was a famine. But the way Yemar is looking right now is they could have afforded to pay, because they were the Nasi, could have afforded to stay, and they didn't stay. That very day, the day the Rus came to Eretz Yisrael, Mesa Ishta Shel Boaz, Boaz's wife died, so that enabled Boaz to marry Rus, even though you're allowed to marry two wives. Yeah, because he was the Nasi, he was not going to marry another wife, and he had 60 children with his wife. Why should he marry her? Because he lost his wife, he was an Alman. This is a famous saying that people say. Before the Eibusha takes somebody's wife away, he already appoints someone to replace her. Sounds like to me that every person who never loses a wife should right away seek out to get remarried, because the Eibusha already appointed another one for him. Amar Rav Barav Huna, Amar Rav Iftson Zeh Boyas. Iftson, who's one of the Shoftim, is also known as Boyas. Mike Mashmalon, what we need to know that Iftson and Boyas are the same person. To know a bit more about Boaz. Iftson, we know, had the 60 children. We don't know what Boaz, anything about Boaz. So now if he tell you that Iftson and Boaz are the same person, then we know that Boaz already had 60 children. And look what the Gemara says here, extraordinary thing, if you think about it in your own personal lives. What happened was he had 60 children, 30 boys, 30 girls. Every boy married a foreign girl, and every girl married a foreign boy. So every one of them had two simchas, one local and one where they were. The Rashbam says that they had, what do you mean, two simchas? The Rashbam says they had the engagement party one place and the wedding somewhere else, and the Sheva Brachas don't count.
One family in one street and the other family in the other street.
That would be much more than two. And he says, and the Sheva Brachas is like one long wedding. He says a wedding and Sheva Brachas, when we say one party, is one party, because you don't stop partying for 7 days. Shneva said, but he loy, it said that he had to him, who's him? This is Ivtson. He had Shloshim Bonim and Shloshim Bonis. He had 30 sons and 30 girls. And Shilach Achutza, they all went out overseas. Shloshim Bonis, Hevi, Lebonov, Minachutz. So the girls he sent away from home. Imagine all 30 daughters he married on the Chutzlaurit Nikas. And he brought Chutzlaurit girls for boys. You have to wonder, this is the leader of Eretz Yisrael, and he only wants for his family outsiders. Why would that be very strange?
What he means,
outside of
Bislachim or outside of
Eretz Yisrael? It sounds like outside of Israel.
Who's outside of Israel with Yidden?
I don't know. We already know that in Spain they were Yidden. But why outside of Bislachim?
This is by Hashem, not at that time.
Even by Sishim, we have a Spamia we had in the Teda, it's a Spamia. Why would the Targum, why would even outside of Bislachim, couldn't find any local boys or any local girls? He didn't do a very good job as a Rav, as a leader, if he couldn't find one decent Bacher, or one decent girl in his whole city.
He's trying to bring more people in.
Oh, he's trying to increase the population. But he didn't. He sent his kids away. They didn't live home.
And then he brought them back.
No, he doesn't say he brought them back. He sent Shalach Chutza. He sent them away. Goodbye.
He didn't have any Muslim cast, and his sons he also didn't send
them. Yeah, it's amazing. Shalach Chutza, he sent them away. Shloshim Bonos, Hevi LeBonim in Achutz. His son stayed with him, and his daughter he sent away. And by Yishpa Yisrael Shabbat Shalom, and he judged him for 7 years. Of a cholachas v'achas on the shnei b'shtei, he made two parties of each one. Echad beis of echad beis chamav, one party in his place, and then one party by the shver. Now this is what happened. Hard to understand. Uve kulan, even though he's a good friend of Manoach Shimshon Agiba's father, but all he made 120 parties. He never invited Manoach. Now look why. You ever go a wedding of a friend goes by and you don't get invited, it gets from a lady. How come he didn't invite me? So look what the Gemara says here. He never invited Menoyach. Omar, he made the following cheshbon. Kudna akora, he's like a barren donkey. He's a mule. In other words, Menoyach and his wife couldn't have any kids till the Malach came and gave him Shimshon. So by my party, I'm going to invite him to 120 parties. How's he going to pay me back? He has no simchas to invite me to. No bar mitzvahs, no brisen, no pidyon habens, no chasnas. Why should I invite him? Yira cheshbon?
Yeah.
Amazing. And he got punished.
It's actually interesting because L'chayri Manoyach seemed like a very simple person. He was scared. We saw the Malach.
Here you see, he was a good friend.
And the wife has to tell him, listen, if we wanted to die, the Ernest would send us the things.
And he's a good friend of the Shefet, of Yivtsa. Tana we learned, and the punishment was, V'kulon meisa b'chayav. Yeah, every chasna ended up in disaster because you don't think after a while he would chap say, hey, 1 second, I'm losing my kids one after another, maybe I'm doing something wrong, said make a cheshbon nefesh.
Yeah, it's
all his kids died.
Every one of Yivtson's weddings fell apart because he didn't invite Manoach to the wedding, and the cheshbon was, how is he going to pay me back?
Yeah.
It's a paladic gemara here. I remember learning somewhere that they want to say that the pshat is he didn't want to offend him. Every time he'll come to chasna, he'll sit and cry because how come I don't have my own children getting married? So he wanted to spare him that sadness. Obviously, that the cheshbon was the yetzer hara made it, sound very nice. You got to do what you got to do.
So it means that the relationship died, not the kids died.
Kulin meisu b'chayav. All of his in-laws, the daughters-in-law, sons-in-law, they all died. You'll see in a minute. Behind them, in she bechayir the older shisin lamalach ichfil veoilet chadim shisin zaris. Out of all the chasnas, only one worked. Now, as a machlek is a main chanan, Rabbein Geshem and Rashbam. According to Rabbein Geshem, Manoach had one son that was equal to all the 60 kids that Ivson had. And that was Shimshon. So that was like revenge, and that's why he had a son called Shimshon, as if it's all related to the story. The Eibishter rewarded Manoach because Manoach sat there and he cried all the time. Why I wasn't invited to the party? And and according to others, according to Rashbam, the pshat is that Rus had, he then married Rus, and he had one son who was equal to all the 60, because that gave him David HaMelech. These four were brothers. Elimelech was a brother, and Salmon was also a brother. And what do you call it? Pliny Almoini, which is Machlek, is a Pliny Almoini, was really his name, or his name was Aya, whatever it is. That this was his name, and Avi Nomi. And the father of Nomi, so Nomi married her uncle, Elimelech. Kula, B'nai Nachshon, B'nai Nachshon, they're all the children of Nachshon, they're great Yichas. My kamash, what's a chiddush? Shafilu mishi yesh leis chusavus. Eli melech had chusavus, and Naomi had chusavus. Yet einoy medav shal yesh leis chusavus. You go, you leave at Yisrael, you forfeit his chusavus. A little hard to understand as a Gemara because we had a Meferish Gemara in Shabbos, and I didn't see anybody asking either. Definitely, hey, I think it is where the Gemara says that we no longer have Chusavus when was it? We lost Chusavus. I forgot what it was. The Gemara says nobody has any more Chusavus anymore. Only what they put in davening, and that's it. Because Eden did Avedis. Maybe it was Churban Bais Rishon. That's happened before. Okay. People, the minyan will say, how come we know certain women in the Bible and certain women we don't know? And so we'll tell you, the Nevi'im told us. You know Avraham's mother's name is? Amasloi Bas Karnaboy. Amasloi, the daughter of Karnaboy, which means the stuffed the sheep. Now that we mentioned the name of Avraham, we'll tell us the name of Haman because his mother's name is exactly the same. Ime the Haman is Amasloi, but Bas Urvise, the daughter of the raven. The Simona, how you can remember whose daughter is what? Tomei, Haman, whose Tomei came from a raven, which is Tomei. And Toi, Avram, whose Toi came from the sheep. He made the David. What's David Melech's mother's name? Nitzeves Bas Adoyel Shema. He made the Shimshon. What's Shimshon Agiba's name? Tzalalef Nis, or without a sof, Tzalalef Ni. The Achte, Shimshon's sister's name, is Nashin. Why exactly he mentions the Shimshon's name? Rashbam says Agav Gerora. I don't know what that means exactly. Because then why did you mention all other sisters? Why did you mention Dovid Melech's sister's name? And we know one of them is Yoyev. But why punct Shimshon's sister's name? No idea. Lamai Nav Kamina. Why do we need to know this? The Shuvah Saminim. That because we're saying, oh, there are no women in the Torah, in the Bible. So we say, even those that are mentioned, we know them by tradition. Avraham Avinu was a kasher for 10 years, as Rashbam said. He saw in the Medrash because Terach went and massed to Nimrod against his son for destroying all the idols. Shalosh b'kusa, 3 years he was imprisoned in Kusa. V'sheva b'kardo, and 7 years he was imprisoned in Kardo. V'ravdim l'doy masi faket places. I mean, like my nafkimin. But 10 years he was in total, and these are the places that he was. And he says the reverse: 7 here and 3 here. Omer Avchida says, Ivra Zira, this place called Ivra Zira, the Kusa, is Zeu Ur Kasim. That's known as Ur Kasim. That's where Avram Vinu was sent in one of the 10 test trials into the fire. Omer Avchonen, Baravam Rav, Oisa Yem Shrift, Rav Amin Oilam, that day that Avram passed away, even though he was defiant against the whole world, when he passed away, everyone recognizes greatness. Omdu Kol Gdeili Umisa, Oilam Beshura. In those days, we're learning about Sanhedrin, how it was that today we have everyone stands in a shura and the Avelim walk right through. But in those days, the Avelim stood still and everybody walked by the Avelim. We learned about a koyin, by a melech, how it works. So, stood kol gedoyle umas ha'olam b'shura. All the goyim stood in the shura of Amru and they said, Oy leila olam shavad man higoy. Here, the goyim then went around after, even though they fought Avram tooth and nail. When he passed away, they recognized his greatness and they said, woe is to the world that lost its leader. And woe is to a ship that lost its captain. So you have the land and you have the ship. Avraham Avinu not only was stationed in a certain place, but he also traveled everywhere. He traveled the world and he was Vayakri Kel Olam. So they're saying, say what he achieved on land in his own area, and say what he achieved when he traveled by ship to other places that he taught the world the idea of Hashem. All of that was, what do you call it? We lost. They appreciated. Then we have a very powerful Gemara where it says, if you remember the Gemara in Brachas, we had it that the Eibishter chose Bezalel, that even a parnas, anybody who's chosen as a parnas and a tzibur is because the Eibishter agreed that he should become the rabbi, or he should become the president of the board, or whatever it is. And here the Gemara says as well, the Eibishter is above every leader. Afilu reish gar gusa. Even the guy who's in charge of the irrigation, so how much water will go to this field and how much water will go to this field, Mishmaya Mukmila, was appointed by the Eibishter. Nobody's in a position of authority unless the Eibishter appointed him. And yet he says in the Gemara that we should have elections and we should appoint him. It's Mechavan to what the Eibishter wants. Omar Abchi Baravin, Omar Abishu Ben Karchem. Abavin says in the name of Shem Karchem, Chas v'Sholem. It's chas v'sholem to say that Elimelech and Machlem and Kilian left Eretz Yisrael nonchalantly, didn't have to, and that's why they were punished for leaving Eretz Yisrael. No way. You know what? Why? Because Shafilu Matasubin, even though they were very wealthy, if the only food that was left was Subin Bran, Lo Yatsu, they would not have left Yisrael. They were Tzadikim. They never would have left Yisrael. Or they were Velibibne Ma Nenshu, so why were they punished? Shahoyu Lehen Levakish Rachmi Maldoidim Velibikshu. You hear why they were punished? Because as a leader, they should have davened for everybody else. The captain should be the last one to jump off the ship. And they should have davened on behalf of everyone else, and they didn't. They just took care of themselves. Shenemar says in the Pasuk that Bezakecha, when you gather together, is Yatzilucha Kibbutzaich. He will save your groups. So when you daven together, David will save you. One thing I don't understand why the Gemara doesn't say here, the reason why they got punished is because they married Shiksas. Simple as that. Not for leaving Eretz Yisrael. These were the Gedolei HaDor, the Machlon Kiryon, both married Shiksas. And nowhere does the Gemara here, you'll see to the bottom, say that that's why they got punished, what they did. Don't understand. I mean, this is the greatest Chil Hashem you can have. So right now we're saying, because they should have davened, which sounds very edel, you know, such great tzaddikim, but they should have davened for others, and they didn't. So, when do we say that you're allowed to leave when there is, you know, hyperinflation or deflation and so on and so forth? If money was available, paid is b'yoyker, but the fruits are very expensive. But if, let's say, money was unavailable, then even the price of food is cheap. Till now we're saying the price of food was so high expensive that you can leave. When do we say that you need to have two soy, you know, the price of a seller? When do we say that only if money was available? But even the money's available, if you can spend all your money on flour, you can't live much else. But if money is not available, money is expensive, then no matter what price, who cares? You can't afford to pay it. Then you can leave at any time. I remember that price was cheap. 4 soyin of flour was available for the price of a seller. But yet, the stomachs were swelling, kafon from hunger, bitveria, midless isik, and nobody had money. The price was so cheap. There was no demand, because no one had money. So we see such a concept. Rabbi Yechon said, "Here, I remember, Kad loy havi misgad and poilin. We couldn't find to hire workers. Lemidner karta. We couldn't hire workers to make bread. To move to the eastern side of the country, or the eastern side of the city, to bake bread." To work, you know, to work. Why? Mereach pita meisen. They were so hungry, and everybody wanted work, but they still refused to work on the east side of the city because the wind would come and bring the fumes of delicious smelling hot bread, and that would cause them to die. Just the smell alone. That's how bad the hunger was. I remember he's describing hunger, what it was like. I remember Kadhavi Botsa Yenuka Charuva, when a young kid would split open a carib, Bahavi Nogit Chuta de Dusha. And I remember the good times. That was the hunger. But I remember there was a time when he split open a carib and the sap that was inside the honey that was inside the carib, Al Treda would flow out on both of his arms. That's how rich the food used to be at Israel. Remember, he had the food at Israel used to be rich, and then people wanted to pay this genoisar, and then everything after Churban Bais, everything changed. Rabbi Lazar said, "Nihirna, I remember, Kad havi notl urva bisa, if a raven came and stole a piece of meat, the nogid chuta de mishcha, there was so much fat on the meat, which I don't know if it's a good thing, that he used to run down, merei shura barada, from the top of the wall over to the ground. That's how juicy the meat was.
If you drink red wine, it's an antidote to the fatty meat.
To the fatty meat, okay.
South Europeans.
Cancels it out. But Omer Rabbi Yechon said, Nihirna, I remember. We had this Gemara in Yevamos, this last part here. I remember Kadhavi Mitail and Talya Vitalyasa. I remember how innocent the young were in my days. A boy and girl. Bishuka used to meet in the street. Kibar Shis Esse, Kibar Shev Esse. 17 or 16 year old. You're almost age for getting married. Veloyavi Chotin. They never had any lewd thoughts in their mind. They can be friends and they're very innocent. Today, it's a whole different story. He doesn't finish off the today over here, but he had that in Yevamos. You know, how today everything is different. But in his own lifetime, he saw the change. He saw the change from everything, from a very rich food to very poor food, and from people who were innocent and frum to people who weren't. So he already had problems with boys and girls back in Rabbi Yechonon's times. Didn't start today. But Omer Rabbi Yechonon says, Nihina, I remember, Kad Havi Omri Be Medrash, I remember when they say in Beis HaMedrash, that the Moed Elohim, if anybody said, we agree with a goy about some argument that they had, then what happens is enough will be there, and that in itself invited that we should fall in the hands of the clipper of the tumah, the misrachitz alein, that we rely on them, the lein dilhoin, that we rely on them, that they will help us out and do everything we have. In other words, the moment you invite goyim and you accept, they value their opinion, you're already making it that we rely on them rather than relying on the Eibishter and so on and so forth. Not exactly sure what he's trying to say over here. Let's just do the Rosh Bam here. The Moedi Lehen, it's about 10 lines and narrow lines. La'ovi kechav, to a goy. Misratza Lehen b'mesha aimim, you agree and you, what they're saying. Not full be a day, and you fall into their hands. El'kol divrein yister. You should never agree with what a goy says regardless. What does that mean? The misrachitz, because otherwise it's as if be'an rachitz, we say b'rich shmei. Rachitz means to rely. Does it say that? It seems anything. He says, "Kol divrein yister." Unless then the Rashbam is missing the Ikar Chasam and the Sefer. He should say when they talk about religion. Then he says, "The misrachitz." Misrachitz, like we say, Brich Shmei means to rely. Boiteach shaydeishem is galal lehen, by revealing to them that we agree with them. Loichin koma sheyodin mishaloi, they take all of our knowledge. Kedachsiv bechizkiyah ve'yidim kol beis nechasoi, so they take all of our intelligence and our knowledge because we become too friendly with them. Back to Gemara, Ksiv, it says Machla Kilya and Ksiv. In another passage in Divrei Yom, it says the Yoyeshev Sarav. So who were they? Rav Shmuel Chadom. Real names are Machla Kilya and Shmon. Velomik Shmon Sarav Yoyesh. Yoyesh and Isyaish Regula. They abandoned hope of ever being redeemed, so they married chicks because they gave up hope ever going back to Yisrael. What excuse is that? I don't know. And Sarav Shnis Chayva Seiful Amokim. And why Sarav? Could they deserve to be killed by the Eibishter? And Rashbam says, why deserve to be killed? Because they left Yisrael. Why not? Because they married chicks.
Maybe the explanation is because it's like some of Melch and others who married chicks. They
were Megaya. They were all, we had in Mori Vamas, they were all Megaya. Every one of them was Megaya.
Maybe these ones were Megaya too?
No, they weren't. That's why Naomi knew the whole, Rus was Megaya afterwards. That's the whole story of Rus. And okay. The Chadom, the other one says, Yoyesh v'sarif, so real name Yoyesh v'sarif. V'lam anikra shmon machlon kilyan, machlon she'osu gufin chulin, they made the body chulin, they left that Yisrael, and the kilyan shen z'chayiv klil amokim, deserve to be killed by the Eibishter, because they left that Yisrael. I don't know. I wonder if they talk about this. At the time we learn, Kamadom and machlon v'kilyan shmon, we look in the Baraisa that the real name is machlon kilyan, at the time we learn, ma'ilach siv, it says in Pasuk in Divrei Hayamim, the Yoikim, these were the people, the Yoikim, and they're listing the people who come from Yehuda. Yoikim, Anche Kuziva, the Yoyish, the Sarov, Ashebalu Lemoyav, that they married Moyav, the Yishbu, the Yoshvi, Lahem, and they settled with them, Badvarim Atikim. The things are known. What's going on? The Yoikim, that Yeshua. And what does Yeshua have to do with the Yehuda? So Rashbam says his mother came from Shevet Yehuda. Shehekim, and what do you mean Hekim? Shehekim shvul anche given. Even though anche given fooled him, he decided to keep his word because of Chil Hashem. Anche kuzibo elo anche given. These people are given. Shekozvu be Yeshua. They lied to Yeshua. The Yoyesh v'sarav elo machlo v'kilyan. V'lom nikshma Yoyesh v'sarav. Yoyesh is Yashim regula. This is the Braisa. And sarav shen is chayv v'sreifol amokim. Deserve to be killed today. B'shtah. Shebo l'mayav shen nosu noshim mayavias. Sounds to me clearly. Even if that the problem was that they married shiksis. Yet the Rashbam says because they left Eretz Yisrael. The Yashvi lehem zerus hamayvia. They gave bread. This is Rusam Avia. Sheshava, she returned. She came back. Yes, she came back to Yisrael. The Nidveka be Beis Lechem Yehuda, and she joined Beis Lechem Yehuda, where Boaz was. But Dvarim Atikim, the things are old. Dvarim Alolu Atigayim. And the Eibush does not Atigayim. He said it. See, but so the Avdi Ksiv Shteim Nasech Hanim Tzoyis. Hey, Mahayotzim. These are the people who created it. The Yoshua and the Toyim, they sit there by the saplings, the Gadra, and they made a fence. Imam Melech, when Melech the Yoshua sat there with the king, what's going on? Hey, my Yoitzim, Elu b'nei Yonadav, ben Rechev. These are the children of b'nei Yonadav, ben Rechev. Shenotzru Shvuas Aviyem. They kept the promise to their father. They kept the father. They promised the father they'll never drink wine and they will not build houses. Kozman that even though the Beis Hamikdash was standing because they knew there'll be a churban, they already felt the life of the churban. And Yirmiyahu used that against the Yidden. These kids are listening to their father. How come the Yidden don't listen to me, the Navi? Yoshua, this is Yimer saying. Yoshua in the time sitting on the saplings. That Shleimer is referring to Shleimer. Shadaimer Linatia ben Malchusa. He started out like a sapling. He's very young, and then he grew up. He developed. The Gidra Zu Sanhedrin. Shigodru Pizay. So the role of Sanhedrin is to close the breaches by Eden. Imham Mele ben Malachta Yoshua. They sat there with the king. What do you mean the Melech Malach? Shem Zer Rus Hamayvi. Talk about Rus. Shirasa ben Malchus. She sat with the king. Rus lived a very long life. David and Melech was four generations later. She lived when Shlomo HaMelech became king. Shlomo ben Bnoi shall ben Bno, a grandson of her grandson. Shenemer says, "Vayosim kisel Eim Melech." It says that Bathsheba sang to Shlomo HaMelech, and then said he made a chair for the Eim Melech. We already said Bathsheba. It means the ultimate, the Rus. Rus sat there next to Shlomo HaMelech. She lived a very long life. It means the mother of all the matriarch. And who's the matriarch? It was Rus. Talmud learned by Chaltim and Atfu Yosha and if they didn't behave, they'll eat from the old Tvua, Belay Salamantan, without the Salamantan. What will the Salamantan, my Belay Salamantan, Nachman Belay, that seems to mean the outest worm that destroys the crop. And but I've said, I'm a Belay Shadifu, about the wind, the crop doesn't get destroyed, but the wind batters it and dries it up. Tanya comes up, Shay, look, Shay is drying up. Tanya comes up, Nachman, look at what, a worm that eats it up. Tanya comes up, Nachman, by Chaltim Yosha and Yochel, Yisom, it's up in the Chodesh. Yosha and Shekola, we would think that comes the eighth year, they would have no food left and they'd be dying there for waiting for food because of all the food from the 6 years gone. Tamil Lamed, Ad bot Tfuasa, that the old Tfua is going to last until the new Tfua is ripe and ready to be eaten. Acha Tovet, Tfua Me'ele, until it's already ripe. Tanya, so we thought kolam means it would disappear completely. That's the worm. Tanya gavos abshesh lechaltim in atvua yoshin. Yochel, I would have thought, hey Yisrael, mitzapin lechadus ne yoshin shara. It's still there, but it's bad. It's foul. Tam leim abay tvos atche tov yomala. Tell them what we learned. Lechaltim yoshin noishin. The blessing is you'll eat the old. Melamed shekolam yushim mechaveli of chavei. The older the fruit is or the vegetables, the better it is. The ainli el dvorim should darken liyashin. These are things that generally the age. Dvorim should ain't darken liyashin. I think it don't age. How do you know? Tamalema yashin noishin mekal makam. It's always better. The yashin nechardetzi. You're going to have to get rid of all the old to make room for the new. Melamet shay oitzes melein yashin full of old. The granus melein chadash. He had new warehouses full of new. Vayisrael aimim heich noitzizem bipnezer. How can we take the old which is so good away from the new? Amar papa kol miliatika ma'alya. All old things, and yet they'll have to do it. This is part of the blessing in the beginning of Chukai. All old things are better than new. Levad mitamari, dates. Fresh dates are better than old ones. The shikra and fresh beer is better than old beer. Vahasna and fresh fish is better than old fish. Hadna lacha meicher sasvim.